Our theme this morning is not ashamed, and that will be from Romans 1:16-17. Let us hear God's word. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is God's word. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we come now to a time of hearing from your word. We do ask that you would speak to us. Lord, we praise you that you are a God who is there and a God who is not silent, that you are a God who speaks. So this morning we ask that we would hear your voice, that your living word would have free course in our lives. May the Holy Spirit take the word as it is preached. May he apply it to our lives. May he convict us where we need to be convicted. May he heal us when we need healing. And may he make much of the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst. Lord, this morning be glorified, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, when it comes to the book of Romans, there are many key verses that are well known by people in the church. One of the main verses that many Christians know and they'll cite regularly is Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Others might say, well, Romans 6:23, that's one of my favourites. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Perhaps another would say, no, my favourite verse in Romans is Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Or maybe you're more of a Romans 10:9 person, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For me, one of my favourites is Romans 10:13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There are many wonderful verses in Romans that we go around saying, this is my favourite, this is the one I like, this is the one that ministers to me. And those verses that we just quoted then are actually key verses that play a major role in the development of the book of Romans. And all of them are major and important verses because all of the verses we just looked at center around the gospel. They all center around the key and fundamental message of the Christian faith, namely the good news of Jesus Christ. And this morning, as we continue our series in the book of Romans, we come to another very well-known verse, a very popular verse in evangelical circles, and that is Romans 1:16. Now, we know this verse is popular because if you survey Christian music, you will find that many hymns, many contemporary Christian songs, and even some Christian rap has been written about this verse. This verse is popular. This verse stirs us to action. This verse of not being ashamed of Jesus is something we all want to lay hold of as believers. In fact, I know it's popular because when I went to a Christian bookstore, I saw that you could even buy wristbands with the word unashamed on it. And if that wasn't enough, you could then buy a t-shirt with Romans 1:16 written on it, and then a cap to go with it saying, not ashamed. We like this verse as believers. It's a popular verse because as we hear what Paul says, we find that we too are stirred to action. It's wonderful to read the words, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We read that and we start to think that we, along with Paul, would stand shoulder to shoulder with him saying, that's right, brother Paul, you're not ashamed, I'm not ashamed, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Oh, we can easily read this verse and picture ourselves standing boldly against the enemies of the cross saying, no matter what comes against us, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But it's easy to say that. It's easy to think that. But do we really put into practice what is written here? You know, something we need to keep in mind as we read this statement by Paul is that when Paul declared that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, he was living in a day and age where being a Christian actually cost something. It's easy for us in the peace of the Western world to say, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. But for Paul and these believers in Rome, well, that statement was a statement of political rebellion. It was a statement that said, Caesar is not Lord. It's a statement that says, Jesus Christ, he is Lord. You see, a few years earlier, the believers in Rome were actually expelled from the city, all because of their faithfulness for Jesus. But now the Roman governing authorities had changed and they allowed the Christians back into the city. But just because they were allowed back into Rome does not mean everything was fine and dandy for them. No, the believers at the time that this epistle were written, they faced losing their businesses, their social standing, they faced losing acceptance in society, their freedom, and even their own life, all because they stood for the gospel of Christ. And it's into that context that Paul stands up and says, I am not ashamed. Now for Paul, this statement of boldness, this statement of courage, means that he wants to go to Rome to preach the gospel amongst them, but he doesn't just want to stay in Rome. He wants to then go to the frontiers. He wants to go to the places where Christ is not known, because he's not ashamed to proclaim Jesus. He's not ashamed to own Christ as his Lord. So Paul says, I'm not ashamed, and I want to proclaim Jesus. This statement of Paul is something that should resonate with us. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, when you read these words and you hear of Paul's desire, you should find yourself going, I wish I could say that. Not only say that, but I wish I could put into practice what Paul is saying. And God in his grace does allow his people to put into practice this verse. If you read the testimonies of the martyrs, you'll find that many of them have gone to their death, quoting Romans 1:16. Many of them as they were strapped to a stake and fire built around them, crying out, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Stories even today of Christians being rounded up by Muslims, having a sword put to their throat, being told, deny the Christ and you will live. Confess him and you will die. And believers, through the fear and through the terror that is facing them, say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. These words of Paul should be a rallying cry for all believers to stand boldly. But I would suggest that before we can stand boldly and put into practice what these words say, we need to actually understand what the gospel is. It's one thing to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it's another thing to actually understand what the gospel is. You know, we live in a day and age where there's confusion over the gospel. So what I want to do in this first section of this message is to examine what is the gospel, what is the message that Paul says he is not ashamed of. There is chaos, there is confusion in our Western world today over the good news of Jesus. Even within the church, there is confusion over what is the gospel. If you were to ask Christians what the gospel is all about, many of them would have no clue what you're talking about. I remember seeing a video of this man going out and interviewing people in different locations around the world, saying to them, what is the gospel? And most people stared blankly into the camera. My favourite answer was from all the people that would say, oh, the gospel, that's a style of music from black churches in the southern states of the USA. They thought gospel was music, a black choir clapping along. But that's not what the gospel is. Even amongst those who say they proclaim the gospel, there is confusion. I remember a few years ago back in Brisbane, I was doing some work for the Way of the Master, Wretched Radio, interviewing people about what they believed. And there was a Christian festival outside of the city where Christians from all different churches and backgrounds came together in order to celebrate Easter. And I was sent along to interview these Christians to ask them one question: what is the gospel? And as I did interviews, I noticed that the local Christian radio station had set up at this festival. And one of the hosts, one of the announcers that worked on the station, who was quite well known, she was signing autographs and chatting to people. So I went up to her and said, "Hey, I know you're used to being on the radio. Can I interview you for a radio show in the US? She laughed and thought it'd be funny to do a different station for a change. So we started the chat, and she was friendly, she was polite. I said, "Look, I'm assuming you know what the gospel is." And she said, "That's right. I proclaim the gospel to all those who will listen. I proclaim it in person and I proclaim it on the airwaves." And I said, "That's wonderful. What is the gospel?" And all colour drained from her face. She said, "I'm sorry." I said, "What is the gospel?" She stumbled and fumbled, and then she became angry and walked away. It turned out she didn't know the gospel at all. It's one thing to say, "I know it." It's another thing to know it. And that scenario of not knowing the gospel is not uncommon. There are many people who claim to be Christians who do not understand the central message of the Christian faith. So if we are going to say, along with Paul, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," we need to actually understand what the message is that we're standing for. Before we can say, "I am not ashamed," we must understand the gospel. Now, Paul in the book of Romans has already mentioned the gospel. He's spoken about the gospel of God. He has spoken about how this good news has come from God and it's about God. He has told us that the gospel was promised throughout the ages and that it was fulfilled in a person. It was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And throughout the rest of the book of Romans, we'll see that Paul keeps circling around to the gospel. The whole book of Romans is about the gospel of God, how to know God and how that gospel impacts you. So Paul will keep coming back around to the gospel. He will explain the gospel. He'll build upon the gospel. He will clarify the gospel. He will build upon these key truths. But that's going to take the whole book of Romans. And I'm not going to exposit the whole book of Romans this morning. But there is a way in which we can answer the question, what is the gospel, by looking at a handful of verses. You see, this morning I want us to think about the gospel message that we are not ashamed of. But before we look at the verses that explain the gospel, I want to try and make you uncomfortable for a moment. It has been said that the role of the preacher is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. So let me try and afflict you for just a moment. I want to give you a scenario. I want you to think through something. I'm going to assume that the majority of us here are professing believers and that the majority of us think we can explain the gospel. So let me give you a scenario to think about. Imagine this afternoon as you leave church. You've had a good time of fellowship, we've sung, we've worshipped, you're driving home. And as you're driving home, you come across a terrible traffic accident. As a result of this accident, one man is left with only minutes left to live. You go to render assistance. And as you rush up, this man grabs a hold of your hand. He looks at you in the eyes and says, "I am not ready to meet God. Tell me, how can I know him?" Could you do it? Could you explain the gospel? Each beat of his heart is bringing him one step closer to eternity. Each beat of his heart is the drumbeat to his own funeral march. He's getting closer and closer to death. He's looking at you in the eyes and he's saying, "Tell me the gospel." Could you do it? Now, much could be said about the gospel, but I want us to look at the core. What is the core message that we are to stand boldly for? What is the core message that we are to share? What is the fundamental truth that we are to say, "I am not ashamed of"? Well, if you have your Bibles, could you please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? And I want us to look quickly at verse 5 to 4. It is here in this passage the Apostle Paul spells out explicitly what the gospel is. See, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and what he does is he reminds the church of the gospel. It's always good to be reminded of the gospel because we can become distracted and we can forget the gospel. So Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, and he says, I want to remind you of that which is first of all, or as some translations would say, I want to remind you of that which is of first importance. And Paul is saying, I'm going to remind the church of that message which is fundamental. I'm going to remind the church of its foundational message, the good news and the gospel. And then in verse 3 and 4 of 1 Corinthians 15, we see Paul spelling out very clearly the heart of the gospel. We see him spelling out very clearly what the gospel is all about. First, he starts by talking about sin. He says, Christ died for our sin. So this means Paul is speaking about our human condition. We have all rebelled against God. We have all turned our back on our Creator. Our Creator made us for us to know Him and to love Him, but we turned our back on Him. We have declared autonomy away from God. We have sinned against God, and as a result, we deserve judgment. So Paul says, here's the starting point of the gospel. Christ died for our sin. We have sinned. Yet Paul also brings in the love and the mercy of God. He says, Christ has died for our sins. This speaks to the kindness of God shown in the fact that Jesus died for us. As we quoted at the start, Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You sinned, but Jesus died. He took our punishment. He went to the cross on behalf of his people. He paid the penalty sin demanded. So in that one statement, Christ died for our sins, we see two pivotal truths that we must have in our gospel presentations. Our sin and the fact that God's love is shown in Jesus dying for sinners. But Paul doesn't finish there. He then says Christ was buried, and then on the third day, he rose again. This speaks of the victory of Jesus. He took our punishment. He died the death that we should die. But then we see that the grave could not hold him. That he has risen just as he said he would. He rose again from the dead in order to bring us into right relationship with God and to grant us eternal life. And because Jesus has died and risen again, we can be forgiven of all our sin. The penalty of sin has been paid for. That is good news. That is the fundamental message of the gospel. We have sinned, but Christ died for sinners and rose again. That is the heart of the gospel. That is the wonderful truth that we should be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The message of Jesus, the message that we are not to be ashamed of, is a message that is foolishness to the world. The world will mock you. The world will not like this message of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. When the Apostle Paul went up Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17 and he preached the resurrection of Jesus, it says that people mocked him because of it. This is a foolish message in the eyes of the world, but it's a message that we are to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel says I am a wretch that needs saving. The gospel says that God loved me and Jesus died for me. The gospel says that Jesus rose again for my justification. It says I cannot save myself. I cannot rescue myself. There's nothing in me that merits salvation. Rather, it's an act of free grace. And when we hear that, when we understand that, we should be able to say with Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The gospel and the gospel alone is the power of God unto salvation. There is no other message, there is no other way, there's no other system that we can be made right with God. It is the gospel, the good news of Christ, and Christ alone that saves. This message is not limited to a particular nationality or skin color. It is not bound to one particular realm of the earth. No, the gospel is broad. The gospel is open. The gospel is open to the Jews and to the Greeks. In other words, to those whom God addressed in the Old Testament and to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews. The gospel is open to all those who would believe. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. You see, it doesn't matter where you are from or what your background is. The good news is if you would believe in Christ, you would be rescued. You would be saved. It doesn't matter what sin you have done in the past. It doesn't matter how wicked you have been. It doesn't matter what you've done in darkness that no one else has seen. God has seen and God knows. And God still sent forth the Lord Jesus to die for sinners. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of that message because he rescued me. And Paul says, this gospel message is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. You see, when we hear this good news, this wonderful news of God's love shown in the death and resurrection of Jesus, we should want to respond to that message in belief. Now, in the Bible, to believe means more than just giving intellectual assent. It's more than saying, aha, to a few intellectual points about Jesus. No, to believe in the Bible means that you respond by turning from your own life. It means you turn from your sins. Another word for that is repentance. We turn from our wrong and we turn to Jesus. And we trust in him alone. It means we cling to Christ and say, I need your good news. I need your rescue. Please forgive me of all my sin. And that's the call to all people. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You can be forgiven not because you've earned it, but because God loves sinners. So Paul says, I'm not ashamed of that message. It's a wonderful message. And I'd be failing in my duty as a preacher if I did not ask you this morning, have you come to embrace that message? Have you experienced the power of God unto salvation? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you believed in him, the Saviour who died and rose again? If the answer to that question is no, then right now I would call on you to come to the God who is loving and kind. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, asking him to forgive you of all your sins. Turn from your wrong and turn to the Saviour. You can do that right where you're sitting. If you don't know what to say, or you're not sure what to do, talk to me afterwards. I'll be more than happy to introduce you to the one who saved me. And if he can save me, then I know he can save anyone. However, if you have trusted in Christ, if you have turned from your sins, then this message of the gospel, this wonderful news, as simple as it is something that we should not be ashamed of. We shouldn't light the candle of the gospel and then hide it under a basket. Rather, we should hold it up for all to see. The gospel of Jesus, the good news, is something that we should hold up high. If we're going to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, then we cannot cover it. If we're going to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, then we must hold it high. The problem is that as we go through life, it is very easy for us to start here when we're first converted. Hey, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm holding the light high. Oh, I'm starting to get laughed at. My friends think I'm a nut job. I'll just lower that light a little bit. And you wave it a bit lower. Instead of high and above your head, now it's down about chest height. As you grow in the faith, oh, the cares of life begin to strangle us. Oh, if I keep making much of Jesus, I'm going to lose that position at work. I'm going to lose those friends. I'm going to lose those family members. What I might do is just, look, I still believe. I'll just drop the light into my pocket. I'll just cover it up slightly. But by doing so, we're actually saying, I am ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You see, if we're going to say, I am not ashamed, then we must keep Jesus high. But the moment we start to cover the light, we are saying, I'm ashamed. And while we may not verbally say that, sometimes our actions can show that we are ashamed. So let me continue to afflict you, to try and make you uncomfortable. So I'm making myself uncomfortable. Are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Are we ashamed? You see, the gospel is wonderful news. It's tremendous news. But do our actions reflect that we are embarrassed or ashamed of it? You know, we live in a society, we live in a day and age where taking a stand for Jesus is frowned upon. Standing for Christ is a surefire way to get you in trouble in our community. Life may be difficult if you stand for biblical truth. So the temptation is always there just to stay quiet, to hide the light, to just dim it a little bit. The temptation's there. But such actions actually reveal that we are ashamed of Jesus and his message. And I would suggest that the Apostle Paul knew all about that. That the Apostle Paul faced those same kinds of temptations and struggles. Paul was a human just like you and me. No one is a superman that can stare death boldly in the face and say, ha, come what may. No, I put it to you that Paul, and we see this throughout his epistles, struggled and wrestled with things just like we do. James Stewart, the Scottish theologian, said, there is no sense in declaring that you're not ashamed of something unless you've been tempted to feel ashamed of it. And he went on to say, is it possible that Paul felt the temptation? Well, he's human. I would say that there are situations where all of us are tempted to be ashamed of the gospel. None of us are perfect. We all have temptations to downplay the good news. Our actions can sometimes betray the Saviour who rescued us. About 17 years ago, I remember going out witnessing on a Saturday night. I was fairly new at evangelism. And we went out to the Queen Street Mall, which is the pedestrian mall in the heart of Brisbane City. And it was about 9 o'clock at night, and I was with a friend, and we went out witnessing. And something we loved to do when we went out witnessing is find other Christians, and we could encourage each other on the streets. And as we were walking around handing out tracts and talking to people, I noticed an older gentleman sitting on a park bench by himself reading his Bible. So I went up to him and I greeted him. And he was friendly and we chatted. And I said to him, I notice you have a Bible. Are you a Christian? He snapped the Bible shut. He stood up quickly and walked away saying, no, I'm not. And I thought, well, maybe he was just a non-believer reading the Bible and I scared him off. Well, a few years later, I actually met that man again at a church where I was preaching. And he came up to me after the service in tears saying, I denied the Christ. He said, I was a believer, but I was so concerned about what people may say of me that I ended up denying my Lord. And he said for the years afterwards, he felt heartbroken and convicted of sin because of that night. Now, I know that's a bit of an extreme example of being ashamed. And perhaps you and I have never actually been in the position where we have verbally denied Christ. We may not have been in that situation, you may have, but I'm assuming most of us have never confessed with our mouth that Jesus is not Lord. I'm assuming most of us have never gone that far. But I do think all of us, at some point in our Christian life, have actually shown we're ashamed of the gospel in other ways. When we stay silent on biblical issues, when we do not speak up for righteousness, is it possible that we are revealing that we are ashamed of the gospel and we won't tell people the good news because we might get mocked, we might get ridiculed, we may lose our reputation, and perhaps we may even end up in the local newspaper? And I know that's a question and a challenge I've got to think through myself. Don't hear me standing in this pulpit this morning saying, hey, I've got it all together. I'm never ashamed. Don't hear me saying that at all. I battle. I struggle with this as well. I don't want people to think badly of me. I don't want people to ridicule me. I don't want a hard life. I want it to be easy. And the temptation is, if I am just, you know, just turn down the Jesus bit a notch, and I might be able to sail through life in an easier way. Life would be easier if I would be ashamed of the gospel. The temptation is always there. But we shouldn't. We shouldn't give in to that temptation. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, hung on that cross in open shame. It was a shameful thing to be held up amongst criminals, to be cursed by dying on a tree. He endured open mockery and shame for my sin. Surely we can endure a few eye rolls or mocking from people in our culture. It's so easy for us just to say, look, I'll just not carry on about Jesus. And we end up being ashamed. But now let me try and comfort the afflicted, because I need comforting. Perhaps you've listened to this, you've heard this, you've looked at the text, and you're remembering the times that you have been ashamed of the gospel. And if that is the case, I do not want to stand in this pulpit and condemn you, because I would be condemning myself as well. Rather, I want us to look and understand that there's actually comfort and hope for us in the scripture. You see, there will be times when we are ashamed of the gospel. No one's going to get it perfect all the time. But when you are ashamed, when you do act in a manner that does not honour Christ, when you hide the light, remember this: God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient to cover all our sins, including being ashamed of the gospel. The Lord Jesus, when he died on the cross, died for all our sins, past, present, and future. Jesus, who is God, who knows all, knew that you would be ashamed of him in certain contexts. He knew that you would commit that sin. Yet he still died for you. And one of the verses that should comfort us greatly is actually Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. Because in that verse, Jesus says, he is not ashamed to call us his brethren. Jesus is not ashamed of us. Now, he says that statement knowing full well that there are times that we would be ashamed of him. He says, even though you will do wrong, even though you will commit sin and you may be ashamed of me, I am not ashamed to call you my family. Christ knows, and Christ says, I'm not ashamed to call you my own. In 2 Timothy 2:13, we are told that Christ remains faithful to us, even when we are faithless towards him. So if you have been ashamed of the gospel, if you have hidden the light of Christ, then remember the grace of the Lord Jesus. You have not committed the unforgivable sin. You have not sinned to the point where Christ has let you go. He won't deny his own. He won't let you go. He knows the sin and he says, I'm still not ashamed of you, and I am still faithful. And because he is loving, because he is kind, because he is not ashamed to call us his family, because he holds us, he says to us, look, you have sinned. It is a sin to deny the Christ, to be ashamed of the Christ. Confess that sin and own him as Lord. He doesn't damn us to hell. No, he says to his people, I love you. I've paid the full penalty of sin. You are mine. You're my family. I'm not going to let you go. So don't think, if you are a believer, that you have brought shame to Christ to the point where he will deny you. He won't. Jesus won't deny his own. He knew you would do it, and he still says, your family. He still went to the cross to pay for that sin. Even though we might say, I am ashamed of the gospel, Jesus says, I'm not ashamed of you. Confess that sin and grab a hold of Christ, who is still there. Finally, I want us to look at verse 17 very briefly, the impact of the gospel. You see, the good news of Jesus, which brings about salvation, does more than just rescue us from sin and grant us eternal life. The gospel actually changes everything about how we live. The way we act, the way we interact with each other, the way we conduct ourselves should be radically different because of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 17, it says that in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, and that we ascertain that righteousness by faith. Not works, but faith. We receive the righteousness of God by faith. When we have faith in Jesus, Paul tells us here that we are now counted as completely righteous in the sight of God. And the reason for this is when God now looks upon the person who has faith in Jesus, he does not see our sin, he does not see our condemnation, he does not see our filthiness. Rather, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. And so when Christ went to the cross, he took our sin upon himself. And in exchange, when we have faith in Jesus, we get his righteousness. So we are no longer condemned, we are no longer under judgment. Rather, when God the Father looks at us, he says there's no sin there because the Saviour has paid it all. We are counted as perfectly righteous because of Jesus. And we receive that righteousness through faith in Christ. The gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. The good news of sins forgiven, but not just sins forgiven. The good news that you now have what was Jesus. And you are no longer condemned. You are no longer guilty. And as a result of having that which belongs to Jesus, you will then start to live and walk in faith. And Paul here quotes from Habakkuk 2:4, and he declares that the covenant people of God, that is the church, will live by faith. They will live as Jesus would have us to live. They will follow after Christ. Our lives as believers should be conformed to his standard because he loved us and he saved us. So out of a heart of gratitude, we should say, I'm going to follow his commands. I'm going to do what he tells me to do. And that is the emphasis that James 2 will later bring out, that if we have faith in Jesus, then we are counted perfectly righteous in the sight of God. We are counted right with God because of what Jesus did on the cross. We are counted justified because of Jesus and his resurrection. And now because of that, we will live differently because we have experienced the gospel. The way in which we live and conduct ourselves, our pattern, our lifestyles, will reveal if we are truly saved or not. Yes, we will daily battle with sin. We will daily struggle with sin. You may even lose some battles with sin. But that's why the true believer who has the righteousness of Jesus will repent and daily fight with that battle with sin and seek to walk after the gospel. As Paul would say, the just shall live by faith. We live by faith in Christ. And by that faith, we walk after Christ. Faith brings us into the family of God. True belief brings us into the family of God and then shows us how to live in that family. And this is all a result of the gospel. This is all a result of the good news that every believer experiences. So when we step back and we look at what Jesus has done and what Jesus has called us to and what he still does in our life, why would we ever be ashamed of the gospel? Why would we be ashamed? So this morning, as we close, as we finish looking at this text, and there's much more that could be said on these two verses, let me finish by asking a question. We've heard of the gospel, we've heard of the good news. Have you experienced that good news? If not, then today come and trust in the Lord Jesus. Come and trust in the one who died and rose again. Don't trust in your efforts, don't trust in your works. Have faith in Christ alone. Turn from your sins and come to the Saviour. But perhaps this morning you are one who has trusted in Jesus. You have had faith in Christ, and there's been times in your life that you have been ashamed of him. If so, confess that sin to Christ. He still loves you. He hasn't abandoned you. He isn't ashamed of you. Rather, he remains faithful. This day, think upon the good news of Jesus. Confess your sins of being ashamed of him, and then move on in faith, living in faith, saying along with the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Let's pray. Oh, our God and our Father, we do thank you this morning for the gospel, the good news of salvation, of Jesus coming to die in our place, to forgive us of all our sins, to rise again so that we might be right with you. Oh Lord, may we be mindful of what Christ has done, and may we boldly lift high the name of Jesus. May we be able to say with true and firm conviction, I am not ashamed. Lord, please forgive us for the times that we have failed in this area, times we have hidden the light of the gospel. Lord, help us to have boldness and courage to stand for you no matter what. And Lord, for those here, those listening who may not know you, may they this day be reminded of the love and the kindness of our Saviour, and may that kindness lead them to repentance. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.